You're listening to Oh Shit, What Now? The only podcast with two entrepreneurial mom friends with nine, yes, nine sons between them. We'll tackle topics from raising our little monsters, I mean, darlings, to running our businesses. Your hosts are Shannon Fletcher, the mom of five, and Dorothy Kolb, the mom of four. Join us each episode as we dig in and open up some space to explore being a working parent, whether you're an entrepreneur or not. Well, hello and welcome to Oh Shit, What Now? Today we have Jessica Berger with us. And Jessica, welcome to our show. Can you tell a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. So I'm Jessica Berger. Some of my friends call me Jess. So we're friends today. So feel free to call me that. So yeah, retired from corporate America in 2018. Actually had a nice little retirement party and decided I was done with that side of the game. Yes. And so I've been an entrepreneur for 3 years, just launching my second venture. I'm the CEO and founder of Bundle & Joy. Bundle & Joy is a female owned and founded pet food brand. We really believe that the pet space specifically is really missing that target market. And so I've been in the pet industry for 15 years. I've done a little bit of everything under the sun, and we're very excited that we just actually yesterday launched our own brand. So very exciting.
That's so exciting. And so tell us about the Airbnb you're in, because that's really what I want to know about.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's
for your launch party. I'm so excited by that.
Yeah. So we were looking at our launch party venues, and every venue we looked at was just so ridiculous. You know, when you start to do group events, and unfortunately, you know, a lot of restaurants are trying to recover with just the last 18 months. And so it's just very expensive to rent a space in a restaurant. So we thought, what if we rented an Airbnb for our event? And so we found a really great spot. We negotiated with the owner to say, we're having this professional event with a bunch of awesome ladies getting together. It's not a party. Would you be willing to rent us a space for this event and for this meeting? And he was a little unsure. But it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And just a really fun way to kick off the event. And it was just different. You know, we had our launch party attendees arrive, not really sure where they were going. We just gave them the address and they showed up and they were like, what is this? This looks like something out of a magazine.
That is so exciting. And so what were you launching? Let's hear all about the launch.
So I've been working on the brand really for about 12 months under lock and key to some extent. We had our first brand pitch event in May. We actually pitched at the Gary Hirschberg Entrepreneurship Institute, and that was our kickoff. And I've been keeping the brand very close to the chest. You know, when you're launching something, it's definitely the most vulnerable time. And so this was our coming out party to some extent to our local community. So our brand is very much focused on community and connection. We're actually launching the brand really based on a digital community of pet parents that want to come together and feel connection. And so for us last night, it was really about getting a bunch of community members together, you know, personal friends, people I worked with, connections in the industry. So we got about 24 ladies together last night and just hung out and really talked about what we're doing with the brand. And it was just for me to get that founding collective of the brand, to have just that hype squad. You know, I kind of at the end told them, guys, you're my hype squad. Each of us really needs that kind of squad to cheer us on, especially as an entrepreneur. It can be very lonely.
So we were talking a lot about an affirmation sort of group, like a squad, your tribe, with another guest that we had on. And for women, I think it's almost like a foreign concept that we get this tribe of women together to hype us up, because men do it all the time. They have this sense of community with each other, and it's not even social media. It's just they get together and do man stuff. And I don't think because we're women, we necessarily feel like we're allowed to do that because we're in charge of the children, or we're in charge of dinner, or we're in charge of something else. So to actually feel this affirmation from around your business idea is huge. That's a huge thing. You need that affirmation. You know, you are in a silo sometimes by yourself. Now, do you have children? Because I didn't even talk about that.
I know we jumped right into the business.
Yeah, because the launch, I'm going to keep coming back to it because there's nothing more exciting than a brand launch. And I love it. What is the name of your company again?
Bundle & Joy. So it's spelled Bundle X Joy. I say it is Bundle and Joy. And for us, Desmond Tutu says that the greatest joy that we get in life is really from doing good for others. And so the brand is absolutely centered on authentic community and connection, but really supporting others. Actually, our packaging on it very clearly says we empower women. And it's really the first time in the pet space that anyone is leaning forward with diversity, equity, and inclusion, specifically in the industry. The pet industry is over $100 billion industry a year, and it is largely male-dominated. And there really are not female-founded or female-owned brands. There's very few. And then in addition, we've really found that less than 10% of pet businesses are also BIPOC-owned as well. And so we truly believe that we know that non-POC pet parents are growing 5 times faster in the space. More people are getting pets. New people are getting pets, and they really want to feel represented in the space. And they don't feel like a pet brand today speaks to them or allows them to have, you know, an authentic community and connection to the brand. And so that's what we're doing. We're seeing a lot of that in beauty. We're seeing it in beauty and all these other categories, but we're not seeing it in pet. And obviously, I've been in the industry for 15 years. It's a really exciting industry, but I sometimes say they're about 10 years behind. And so as a brand, we've made a decision that we're really going to lead the way on courageous conversations around all of the above.
That's wonderful. And then we're tying it back. Do you have children?
I do. Yeah. So going back to my family.
I want to kind of tie this in because it's such an important part of like this next generation of children.
Absolutely.
And inclusion and teaching them what community actually looks like as opposed to the community that's being spoon fed to them on social media. You know, speak a little bit about that and your kids, if you will, just a little bit about what your little tribe looks like.
Yeah. So I have an amazing husband, Dustin, and we have 3 children. I have 3 teenagers in my house right now.
I feel your pain.
So we have 2 juniors in high school and an 8th grader. And so I had my first college tour with my kids last week.
Oh,
things are getting real very quickly.
Isn't it just the worst? Junior year is so hard.
Yeah. Someone told me that God designed our children to get more difficult as they get older. So by the time you get to that point, you're kind of like, all right, it's been great. I'll see you, you know, next
that
month.
That is 100% accurate. I may have had a couple moments of like, but mostly it was like, see you later.
Yeah, I've got 2 19-year-olds. So they're sophomores in college this year, high school senior and a high school sophomore. And yeah, I think you might be spot on with that. Although, you know, one of them is moving to California in January. And I keep going back and forth between being really excited about it. And
yeah, and that's your one that talks to you all the time.
Yeah,
too,
that's the talker. So
you're talking.
But how are you? I mean, how are they, boys, girls?
So our oldest is a boy, and then we have 2 girls. So we have a nice mix. It's interesting. Everyone tells you, oh, girls are difficult at this age, or boys are difficult at this age. And it's honestly a roller coaster every day. And you're just riding the ride with them, their emotions, their day to day, and just trying to be really, you know, a cheerleader and a supporter in all things. But also at this age, really letting them start to find their own way. That's probably the hardest thing as a parent, is learning to start to slowly let go. But I think at the end of the day, I realize as they get older, you're more aware of the fact that they really are watching everything that you do.
Right.
Yeah. Like they don't miss.
So like what you're doing right now is such a huge part of their development, because they're teenagers. Like they're really going to remember this. They're really going to know that you did something important and big, and you should be so proud of yourself. And that's exciting.
Thank you. Yeah, I grew up, my parents had 2 daughters, and my dad, I always tell people, my dad treated me not as a girl, but as a child. And here's the things you can do in your life. And it like never was contingent upon, well, you're a girl, so I'm going to treat you differently, or you're going to have different expectations in life. And so I feel like I was really blessed to come out of my childhood having so much like hope for all the things that I could accomplish and do. And it was not subjective to me being a female specifically. And so I think I've really taught that to my kids just by showing them at the end of the day, like we can all do whatever we put our minds to. And also at the same time, really building authentic community, even within our network. So we sort of decided early, we wanted to be the house where we would invite all people to come and gather. And so 2 years ago, I told the kids, we came up with this idea, let's do a Friendsgiving with you and all your friends. And we'll find some space outside. I'll give you all the supplies, but you run it. You invite your friends. You figure out all the details. And we try.
You are such a better person.
It was just like this idea. And we launched it, I think, 3 years ago. I say we launched it like it's a brand. Just an event.
Yeah.
Everything is a launch.
Yeah, everything's a launch if you want it to be.
It was so cool just to see my kids hang out with other kids. They're off their phones. Each of the kids brought something to share. One of the kids made butter beer. Like, it was just, it was all so cool just to see. And so I think just teaching your children the importance of really being connected to your community and to a network and whatever that is. And
of like people that you can touch.
Yeah, people you can physically touch. Yes. And yeah. I think that's extremely difficult for this generation, for sure.
It's also super difficult considering the time we just came out of with COVID. I think we didn't even touch on this in our last guest interview, but that alone, it's such a huge chunk of time out of, and I believe our teenagers are hit the hardest. I had two seniors, as did Dorothy in 2020, that didn't get to graduate. And so I think it's going to forever mark the before and after. It's gone on for so long. So the fact that you're doing all of this in the middle of that gives your kids even more hope that it's going to keep going. We're going to be all right on the other side of things.
I agree. I feel like I that's a great point, Shannon, that they're seeing you start something when a lot of people were shutting down. And that's got to be a huge impact on them down the road when they run into something that is a hiccup in their life, that they might tap into that, you know. But during the pandemic, my mom launched this incredible company. So, I mean, maybe it'll give them too much pressure and they'll be on a therapist couch, but
that's my job. That's my job.
Yeah, no, I agree. We do have three teenagers. Each of our kids had their own challenges with the last 18 months. And I think every kid responded in different ways. That being said, I would say that we came out of it thinking, wow, this was a really beautiful experience for us, because number one, it required us to pause and take some time to just stop being so busy. Like, that's definitely huge for a lot of people. We took some vacations that were much more simplified than we had taken before. So we rented an Airbnb up in the mountains at one point for just a few days, really did nothing. Did like board games and puzzles. And our daughter said that was her favorite vacation we'd ever taken.
Doesn't that just kill you when you're like, after all the thousands of dollars I have spent trying to entertain you children? But that's amazing.
Like, you don't necessarily need that. So I think that was huge. And then also, I think we very early on decided, okay, who are we going to connect with through this process? And what are things that we can be doing to stay connected with people? So I don't know. It was obviously a very disruptive to all of us. But I believe that my husband and I both have agreed that we came out stronger as a family just because we had that time together. We had time to redirect sort of our focus, you know, and I was selfishly, as a mom, as hard as it was to work at home with three kids on Wi-Fi, literally at one point I was on Wi-Fi at home. My husband was on Wi-Fi working at home, and I had three kids virtual learning. So there were five of us pulling the Wi-Fi. That didn't go so well.
Oh, yeah. No, the virtual learning. Oh.
We also have a great dane named Winston. So Winston weighs about 150 pounds. So he is like another child in our home. It was a lot of togetherness. But at the end of the day, I'll always look back grateful for the extra time that I had with them.
Yeah. It definitely put the brakes on what I was doing, for sure. And in terms of myself personally, well, for everyone, and just, wow, we get to spend a whole lot of time with these kids. Parents were doing this whole parenting thing far before the internet and the conveniences. And can we do it still? Well, we can, but it's really hard and you have to actually pay attention to your kids. And I'm saying that as a person who sometimes thought they were a distraction from my peace and quiet and have been selfish with my own time. Whoa, this is going really fast. This period of time allowed me to step back. And you're doing all of these amazing things with your family and launching a brand. So I'm just going to be quiet and let you talk.
Well, staying on the subject of COVID, though, for a moment, how do you think it will impact how they approach life? Like we were just talking about, like, I feel also in my house that we kind of took a step back, even with the virtual learning. It was like, all right, you know what? School is important and everybody's trying really hard. And I remember my mom telling me last year, you know what, if this year goes by and they, even if they had a like repeat a grade or something, who cares in the long term, you know, my mom was like 89 years old and she was like, you know what, I'm 89. Like if I missed a year, you know, 70 years ago, like I don't remember it. And so I'm wondering, like, how do you think your kids will take what they've learned in the COVID year, in watching you doing what you're doing as they move on in their own lives?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great question. I think, to be honest, I think it forced a lot of us to have conversations around emotional health and well-being that maybe people weren't talking about. I know specifically that teenagers really struggled because of that lack of connection, and they spent so much more time digitally, which I think we learned very quickly was the equivalent of just a very unhealthy kind of environment to find that connection. And so I would be very candid to say that I think our children had some hard lessons during that time. We had one of our kiddos make a dumb decision digitally, and it created an opportunity to have conversations around the appropriate way to connect and the way to utilize sort of digital resources in a healthy way. Conversations that we may not have had otherwise. That being said, I know they so much appreciate being in person now with other kids. Last weekend, I told my kids, I was like, hey, I'm a whim. I'm like super busy, super stressed out. I'm like, you know what? Like my kids need to connect to some other kids. Like I want to hear some kids talking and engaging in my home. Like I miss that. And so I said, just invite a bunch of your friends. Let's in Arizona here, we can swim into October. And so I said, just bring and have your friends come Sunday. And yeah, we had, I don't know, 14 kids or something in our house. And I took a picture at my front door. Everyone had taken their shoes off. I took a picture of it, posted on Instagram. And I was just like, connection. So I would just say that I feel like coming out of this, our children, I hope, are more attuned to the importance of like physical and localized, authentic connection and that community. Again, I keep going back to community, but I really think at the end of the day, like as humans, we were not meant to live alone. And especially for teenagers who are just going through so many changes and so many uncertainties, that is really important. And not community and like hanging out at school, but I think outside of school.
Outside, right. I know mental health has been a hot topic in our home for a year because of all of this. And we have all boys, and Dorothy has all boys, and the stigma around them being able to express what it is that's going on and just them having to do it anyway, because the same happened in my home. And, you know, it was an eye opener. What was it that causes it? You never can tell. But those conversations have to be opened wide up for all children. All teenagers, boys, girls, and the community you're talking about. It might be about pets, but it's about us. It's with our pets. It's about, you know, boy moms getting together because boy moms have more testosterone than a lot of people. Or sports moms, you know. That was a huge part of our life too that kind of got ripped away. I don't know if your kids played sports. I had a lot of that in my house gone. So when you break it down to bare bones, what is it about our families that wasn't working right before COVID? And it just got thrown in our faces. So not to keep talking about the mental health aspect of what COVID did, but what you're doing is providing those ways to get out of what I call the COVID coma. Like you're one of those people that's a driving force to like bring the rest of us with you, if that makes sense. So the more we can tell your story, the more people know, okay, look at her doing this. Look at this one. She's got teenagers. I can do this. So the message that, you know, I hope we're also able to send out with this podcast of you is just, it's very hopeful. Like in the middle of all of this, look at you out there in Arizona being hopeful. I love it. I got the tingles all over.
Well, you know, you set me up for a perfect segue because I was going to change the topic just a tiny bit, but now I don't have to because you just like lined it up for me. But all that said, Jess, you know, all this pressure Shannon just put on you to lead the rest of us into the new millennia. Let us talk about imposter syndrome for a minute. Like, do you feel like, you know, wow, that's a lot not just from Shannon, but I just mean in general, we're in awe of what you've been doing, right? Like launching this thing and with teenagers, because we all have them. And do you feel like, yeah, I've got this, I'm really, or do you still struggle with the, oh shoot, I'm going to look behind me because are they think it's me? I mean, you know, do you struggle with that? Because I know I do. I get myself in front, I'm a fractional CFO. I get myself in front of clients sometimes. I definitely know what I'm doing. I definitely know how to advise them, but I have that moment almost every time where I'm like, they're going to find out that I don't know what I'm talking about. So how are you on that?
Absolutely. I think generally as women, we struggle in general to feel comfortable in the space that we take up. Last year, I was in a digital kind of community group, and I was sharing my struggles of sharing things that I often would hide things or not share things because I felt almost like you said, like a fraud, like people would be like, who does she think she is? I felt a lot of uncertainty about sharing what I was doing and my accomplishments and the things I was proud of and the things I was building. And last year, I was really fortunate to be a recipient of Sarah Blakely's Red Backpack Fund grant. And so she did a lot of work around that.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
Dang, you should have led with that.
I know. Yeah. We need some applause in there. We got to get that applause edited.
Yeah. So it was exciting. And I have admired Sarah Blakely for so long. She's just an amazing female entrepreneur, 100%, and passionate through and through. But I had been a recipient, and it had been, I think, weeks, maybe got into months, and I hadn't shared it publicly. And I was in this community group, and I mentioned it on the side, and she was like, I'm sorry, what did you say? Did you say you were a recipient of this? That's amazing. Like, why haven't you shared that? And I was like, I don't know. I just feel weird about it. Like, I feel strange. And she gave me a really great Marianne Williamson quote, but it's, in life, us making ourselves small doesn't serve anyone. We really should serve and sit in our purpose and our space because the world needs it. And when we hide things or we're hesitant to share our stories, especially with other women, we're doing a disservice to ourselves, but more even to the larger community. And so I think that really was a pivotal spot for me, sharing that on LinkedIn. And it was amazing to see the response and get feedback. And it's funny, it wasn't even about the affirmation of people telling me you're great. It was like me finally being comfortable in my own skin to share that.
That's a great way to frame it.
That's amazing, especially in this day and age when people are like, hey, look what I can do all the time.
And things are so curated, you know?
So curated. And to find an authentic person who actually did something, that's what people are like, wow, it's amazing. I mean, that's an accomplishment.
And I think it also serves them to see, oh, maybe I could do that too.
Yeah.
You know, when it's really authentic and out there, it's, you were just talking about, I'm going to hold this up to the camera, but you can't see it because we're not doing video. But so I have these Russian nesting dolls, and this is like the littlest one, right? And you were talking about when you make yourself feel small. So this is the one when I have the imposter syndrome and make myself feel small. And then that's Natasha. And then the big one is Svetlana, and she doesn't take any crap, and she's very proud of herself. So I keep both of those on my desk to remind myself.
I saw it behind you. I'm like, oh, she's got big Svetlana out.
Yeah, I keep them on my desk, though, because when I feel that moment of, you know, why are you doubting yourself? I'm like, come here, girl.
Visual cues, too, I think are huge. Like, I did a pitch event, my first ever pitch event in May. I had never done anything like that in my life. Okay, I signed up for something, I got accepted, and then I had an, oh shit, what have I done? Am I allowed to say that?
That's literally the name of the podcast, oh shit, what now? So you had an oh shit, what now moment.
Okay, I did. And I thought, you know, I just signed up for a pitch event, and I have a brand idea, but I don't have a pitch deck, and I had 5 days to do it. And then I get the list of the people that I am presenting to, as well as thousands of people on a virtual event. Walter Robb, co-founder of Whole Foods. Andrew Abraham, CEO of Orgain. Ali Truesdale, who's like very well known in the CPG space, like amazing people. And I just, what have I done? So I had five days to figure it out, and something that it was fleshed out enough that I got to that point. And yeah, I pitched my brand idea in the case study to all these people for 45 minutes, got feedback. Walter Robb is talking to me directly. Jessica this, Jessica that. And inside, I'm just like melting, right? I'm just like, what is happening? But I say that to say that the night before, my youngest daughter, she actually surprised me and had printed out all these like inspirational quotes and saying, and it was like, you got that CEO glow, girl, and you got this, just super. And she just decorated my office. And that whole time during the pitch, I'm like, whatever. Like, I could see my daughter's artwork. I could see that her belief. But I think that visual affirmation is huge. I think also, again, just when you hit that imposter syndrome moment, we all hit that. I'm hitting it more and more, to be honest, just because I'm doing something so big in from the perspective of really trying to lead very significant industry change in an industry that is largely male dominated. You know, even our launch event last night, just having a group of women clap, or I had somebody that I really admire say, wow, I just have to tell you, you were such an inspiration. I have been thinking about launching this new business and I have not been sure. And I just, you're just inspiring me so much. And it's like, what, me? And so I don't know. I guess there's some sense of responsibility that comes at some point where you say, you know what, like nobody else is going to do this. And so I'm going to carry the charge. And when I get lonely and have those moments where I'm questioning myself, I need to get myself around some people that are going to build me back up.
Or I can lend you Svetlana if you want.
Exactly. I might need to get one of those.
You know, it's not just you're talking about the sons, though. An International Women's Day this past year, we were watching Bravo, like Below Deck or something like that. And they had a promo come up for it. And it was, I'm not going to name who, but it was, you know, Bravo reality TV. They were celebrating these women in International Women's Day. And one of my twins was like, shouldn't they be celebrating women like you that started their own business and are moms and are killing it? And I was like, oh my God, I did something right.
Yay. I've made it.
So every once in a while, the boys will come out with something good.
Yeah, they
too.
Do every once in a while come out with something good. That was a question I was going to ask you. How are your kids? How do they react to your success? Because I would assume that this is a huge success for you. Are they there in the moment with you? Is it something that you're sharing with the kids?
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe retiring from corporate America 3 years has given me this totally different perspective, but my family is absolutely a part of everything that I do. So we were in brand design and development, and literally we had a family vacation already planned, and I didn't want to lose time in the review process. And we were actually in Hawaii, and we were many hours behind, but we woke up first thing that day, we all jumped on my design call and we're visually looking at designs, and our daughters are like, we like this one and we like that one. And I told our designer, this is a little unconventional. We're all in our pajamas sitting here giving feedback. But I love the idea that, you know, my kids can just see something being built and something they can be a part of. And from their perspective, they may not understand all of it, but I want them to feel like they're a part of it. And so much of our brand is centered around joy, and the joy that kind of comes from pets, the joy that comes from helping and supporting others. And again, I just think that the more that you can actually engage them in what you're doing, the better. They don't need to understand everything. But I think at the end of the day, children that grow up with parents that are entrepreneurs have a very different perspective for sure. And so it's, you know, I'm a second generation American born here in the United States and very grateful for my parents and ancestors and family that made sacrifices to come here to the States and to really create a future. So I worked in corporate America for 18 years of my career. I went to work for Boeing actually, and I always, well, you know, you go to school for something and you're really excited to come out and conquer the world. And that first job you get usually has nothing to do with anything you thought. So I was actually buying airplane parts for C-17s. Had no idea like how I got there, but I got there. So that was a crazy first job. But yeah, I actually was more in finance and accounting really early in my career, but hit a point where I was like, well, I have a marketing degree. Like, I'm so much more than just an accountant. I think that's one of the things for me. It's like, you know.
You hit both nails on the head. I'm a marketing major and she's an accountant.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So my bachelor's is in marketing. I have a master's in accounting and I'm currently getting my PhD in marketing. And I try to explain people that, and they're like, I'm sorry, how can you even have 2 degrees in those fields? But I think that's
now I have imposter syndrome.
But I think it's, as an entrepreneur, like those of us that are entrepreneurs have this very different perspective of life. And for me, I think it's just different. I guess I've always just been excited to build and create, however that kind of came to be.
Awesome. Well, as we're nearing the end of our time together, what I like to end every interview with, what is the biggest piece of advice that you would give to someone listening who might be a mom or might be considering becoming a mom, but also has that entrepreneurial spirit and wants to continue, you know, the working and the mom thing at the same time? Like, do you have a piece of advice or experience that you'd be like, yes or no to?
Yeah, I think always number one, doing what's best for your family first. I don't know that that's talked about enough. A great career is great, but at the end of the day, you get your children for a season, and making sure that whatever you decide to do from a career perspective, I tell people that I worked in corporate America, but at one point, you know, I told my employer, like, I can't come in till this time and I need to leave at this time to get my kids. And if there's additional work that's needed, I'll do it after this time. But setting boundaries, I think that's super important, because at the end of the day, we all tend to feel like a job can't live without us. But then in that job, we realize very quickly that the company goes on just fine. So I would definitely say that. And then I would also just really encourage women to spend some time in reflection. And as a marketer, I spend a lot of time in the 4 P's, the product, price, place, promotion. I created my own 4 P's, which are passion, purpose, people, and priorities. And really taking some time to say, what am I passionate about? We lose sight of those passions as we get older. And so sometimes it's a good way to frame yourself back to when you were jaded, before life got crazy, before you became a mom, what were the things that you were passionate about as an individual? And then second, what's your purpose? Like, we all have a purpose on the earth. I really believe that. And so how can you make lasting impact and change on this world? And what is that specifically? What's the purpose that gets you up every single day? And then people, who are those people that you're going to surround yourself with? We talked a lot about community today, but who are the right people that are going to uplift you and support you? And how do you make sure that you're maintaining connection in real life? And then the last one's priorities. It's very easy to say yes to everything. And I think as moms, especially working moms, we carry a lot of guilt. And so it's very easy for us to commit to everything, to sign up for every donation at school, volunteering, all the things. And at some point, we've said yes to everything, but we've really said yes to not necessarily the things that matter first, right? And so I will check myself, you know, if I'm in a rut, I'll stop and pause and think about those things. Where am I off? What is not necessarily aligned right now? Am I not feeling like I'm living in my purpose? That screws everything up. Or am I not connecting with other people? Or are my priorities whacked? Have I said yes to too many things and I'm so busy that I'm not even like living my life? So that's just what's worked for me. And that was my aha moment of, at the end of the day, as a mom, as a wife, as a female, as a sister, as a daughter, all the things, when we're living in our purpose and pursuing joy, like things go really well. And it's really easy for us to lose sight of that.
I love that.
That's awesome.
That's a fantastic way to end this.
That would be awesome.
Episode. I love it. I love it. I hope everybody out there that who might listen to this, like, if you're going to take anything out of this whole thing, those last like 4 or 5 minutes are great. Well, Jess, thank you so much. I would love to have you let us know where people can find you, either you or Bundle and Joy. Can you tell our listeners where they might be able to find you and your products?
Yeah, we'd love for you to follow us on Instagram at BundleXJoy. We have our big public launch coming up in spring of 2022, and we're very excited to just build community now. So we'd love for everyone to follow us, join our digital community as we launch. We have some really exciting in real life connection events. We're getting together at dog parks and getting some local big cities together. And so we'd love to have you join us there.
How cute is that? Yes. I love it. I'm looking at the Instagram account.
I love it. Yes.
It's adorable.
Thank you. Yeah.
Bundled with a purpose. Aw.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe so you won't miss an episode of Oh Shit, What Now? And don't forget to connect with us on socials and rate our podcast.